Thank you, Kim. We read together in Psalm 33, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." I want you to think about that this morning. We have such a powerful God. Here's a picture from the Hubble telescope. This is a picture of the Polar Ring Galaxy. I don't remember how many light years away. That galaxy, if I recall correctly, is larger than our own Milky Way galaxy. And yet our God breathed out this galaxy and all of the galaxies of the universe. A star-breathing God. He spoke and the heavens came to be. He breathed the stars out of his mouth. Once again, I'm going to use that deeply theological phrase. Wow! That's amazing. Considering the title page and the pictures of our sun and solar system and the pictures of two galaxies, I think they're the next ones, Doug. This is a picture. Now, you probably realize they're never lined up exactly in that order, okay? They are circling in different spots around the sun. But this is what our solar system looks like. Obviously, the Earth is the third planet from the sun. Mercury, and then Venus, and then Earth, and then Mars. The giant Jupiter and Saturn. Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. Consider, you maybe think we're going to travel to the far reaches of space this morning. But we're just going to consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars which you've set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Just consider our sun for a minute. As you can see, this is just a part of the sun. Our sun is a raging ball of fire, 10,000 degrees, sending light, that light, the sunlight, 93 million miles to us in less than 8 minutes. It would take the entire gross national product of the United States of America to power this sun for 1 second. It would take the gross national product of our country for 7 million years. That's a lot of power. If our solar system, okay, we're going to do a little comparison here, okay? Stretch your minds just a little with me. If our solar system, if that solar system were the size of the North American continent, all of the United States of America and Canada, all the way to Panama, from Panama to the North Pole, okay, if our system were that size, all of North America, it would be compared to our Milky Way galaxy would be the size of a quarter. Imagine, put in a quarter in Haywarden, where I used to live, on the street, on the parking lot. That's how the size of our galaxy compared to North America is our galaxy, our solar system to this galaxy. Now, I hope what you're thinking is what I'm going to say. Our Creator God is an awesome God. But as does Psalm 8, Psalm 33 then turns an interesting corner. We read it together in verse 9. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood fast. That's power and awe. But then it gets very personal. From heaven, okay, where is that? Is that in all of our solar system? Is it in all of our galaxy? Is it from a nearby galaxy? or a faraway galaxy, wherever it is, from heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. See how personal that is? From the size of the galaxies of the universe down to a personal God who cares about each one of us. But then he goes even further in 18 and 19. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. This is a God who knows even the small details of our life, like if we have enough to eat. He considers and knows every detail in the lives of us, incredibly small creatures in comparison to his creation. And you really don't need me to remind you often that the world is filled with hurting people. People whose lives are spinning out of control with pain they didn't ask for and sometimes can't even imagine. God promises to them and to all of us, I am a universe maker and yet care about each individual person on the earth. You were made in my image. He even cares about people who don't believe in him. God is big enough to make the sun and planets and stars and galaxies and yet personal enough and close enough to be intimately acquainted with all the details and circumstances of every one of our lives and to care for each and every one of us. Remember last week, we talked about God's providence. I didn't notice in the shower this morning if I lost any more hairs. But God did. He knows if there's a hair in the drain. He cares about us that deeply, that intimately, and that much detail. I promise, God says, no matter what comes, or how difficult the road, or how dark the night, I will hold on to you and literally hold you together and carry you through any and every circumstance that ever comes your way, any moment. On this planet, God promises. Now, I know I've reminded you before, never, ever, ever has God ever failed to keep his promise. Never. He never fails. Isn't that great? Is it? Is it great? I was hoping you'd all say, yes, really loud. That's great. How can we know this is true, though, in my life? You can know God will always hold you together with a deep look into the human body. For a long time, and I may have even told you this before, but for a long time I have loved to think of these vast expanses of space, and then when you think that far out into space, you know, 700 million light years that way, there is some galaxy, I don't know what it's called, 750 light years that way. There's a galaxy too. I don't know what it's called. That is humongous. A light year, remember, 186,000 miles per second times how many seconds there are in a year. Once again, maybe I'm wearing it out, but that commercial, I love that commercial. That's huge. That's huge. And then you can go from that huge expanse of the space of the galaxy and of the solar system and the galaxy and the galaxies into molecules and atoms. And there's parts inside of atoms. Incredibly small as those galaxies are large. You know what's important about that? God is there at each extreme, in the incredibly small and the incredibly huge. So we're going to this morning. My apologies to those of you who are Louis Giglio fans, or if you've seen this before, It's not going to surprise you, but some of you it will. We're going to look at a little protein molecule inside of every one of our bodies called laminin. Is that a big deal, laminin? Huh. Louis Giglio tells the story of how when he first learned about laminin, he says, this is so of God. This is so much a God thing, the way that it happened. When ending a show that he was doing or a speech that he was giving, a guy came up to him just to chat about what he was up to, what he was going to do next. And Louis was going home and going to plan a sermon series on the human body, the glory of God in the human body. And so this guy said, that's amazing. I'm a molecular biologist at the local university, and I would love to know more. Give me your talk. Tell me what you're planning. Louis is going, I don't have a talk yet. I'm just barely starting on it. And he certainly wasn't ready to give it to a molecular biologist. He stumbled through what he had so far as the biologist listened politely. And then the man, the professor, said this. What's your big left hook? Louis says, I don't have one yet. What do you mean? Louis, it's laminin. Louis did this. What? I think he said, what's laminin? I don't remember. The professor says, it's a cell adhesion molecule. It's a protein molecule. Louis said this. Huh? A protein molecule. Do you know about protein? No. Cells organize in... this is the professor again. The cells organize into certain molecular structures, and that determines what proteins they are. We have from 10 to 60,000 protein molecules in the human body. Scientists doesn't even know for sure how many we have. It's organized into a certain structure. It tells the cell what its job is in the human body. This one is a cell adhesion molecule. It's like the rebar of the human body, steel that they put into concrete, the basic building block of the human body. It holds the human body together. Louis goes, okay, I'll look into laminin, okay. The professor was a little excited, as you can tell. I'm sure it will be a big revival if I tell them about laminin. He had his tongue in his cheek when he said that, right? The professor says, no, you don't understand. You've got to see laminin. Louis says, okay, show me. No, you've got to look it up on a computer. Louis didn't even know how to spell laminin when the guy told him that. But the guy wrote it on the back of his card. L-A-M-I-N-I-N. Here, Louis. That's my card, and it says laminin on the back. Louis looked it up when he got home, and it comes up in a thumbnail. And Louis used my favorite deep theological phrase. Wow. That's laminin? A cell adhesion molecule? Louis was blown away. He's beside himself. He loves laminin. He got just as fired up as the professor had gotten about laminin. Maybe you don't get it yet, do you? Maybe you should see laminin. It's the stuff that holds our bodies together, holds our organs and skins together. It holds everything in us together. And Douglas, see the picture. It's the perfect shape of a cross. I was hoping for a little bigger wow. Wow! Notice that the inserts of another diagram, this is just a diagram of it. This one over here is also a diagram, but look how closely the actual electron microscope picture of laminin, it looks like the cross. You see, almost 2,000 years ago, Paul was writing to the Christians in Colossae about the sufficiency of Christ, as Brother Kim said, and the supremacy of Christ, as we said. And Paul tells us that all things are held together in Jesus Christ. All things are created by Him and for Him and through Him. He said He is before all things and in Him. And as we have seen the summary, in Jesus Christ, all things hold together. Jesus holds us together in every way we can imagine. And if you already saw this, I apologize. I think it's just great. I think we all need to know about laminin. And we need to know that Jesus Christ holds us together even at a molecular level. Even a regular microscope can't see this. But God is there in us and with us in the deepest possible way. All things hold together in Christ. Of course, everything holds together in Jesus Christ. He goes on at the end of the paragraph to tell the story of grace. God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Christ. All His fullness from the galaxies, the 700 million light years that way and that way, all the way down to those invisible molecules, protein molecules in our bodies. All His fullness dwells in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to Himself all things by making peace through His blood on the cross. Now I want to emphasize something very strongly. I do not want anyone here to think for even a second. If you did, stop it. Don't think for a second that this scientific information is the basis to believe the Word of God. It is not. Personally, I get a little frustrated when I read in magazines, some of them you know and some of them you don't, where people are constantly talking about this feud, this debate, this divide between science and the Bible. There ain't one. Almost all of our modern science was developed by Christian people. It's only in the half of my lifetime that atheists have tried to attack the gospel through this supposed division between science and Scripture. There is no division. We don't believe God's Word because of really amazing facts like those that I just showed you. We don't believe it because of that, but science certainly supports it. Laminin supports this text in Colossians. You can look up this information for yourself on laminin. You can even find Louis' brilliant presentation on it, which is probably better than mine. I borrowed from him a lot in this sermon. You can find a website that criticizes Louis' presentation for the reason I've indicated. I want you to believe the Word of God because it is the Word of God, not because laminin is deep inside your bodies and looks like a cross. Believe the Word of God because it is a love letter from God. This book contains all the information we need about our spiritual life, and a whole lot of information about every other part of our life. I'll summarize another story briefly. Stick with me, please. After Louis had that confrontation or discussion with the molecular biologist, and after he put together his presentation, after he found the photos of laminin that I showed you, a medical doctor, watched Louis Giglio's message while he was running on his treadmill. This is his story. I was running on my treadmill, watching a DVD sermon by Louis Giglio, and I was blown away. Louis was talking about how inconceivably big our God is, how he spoke the universe into being, how he breathes stars out of his mouth that are huge raging balls of fire, etc., etc. Then he went on to speak of how this star-breathing, universe-creating God also knitted our human bodies together with amazing detail and wonder. At this point, I'm loving it. Fascinating from a medical standpoint, you know. And I was remembering how I was constantly amazed during my medical school as I learned more and more about God's handiwork. I remember so many times thinking, how can anyone deny that a creator did all this? Then Louis went on to talk about how we can trust that the God who created all this also has the power to hold it all together when things seem to be falling apart. How our loving Creator is also our sustainer. Then I lost my breath. And it wasn't because I was running on my treadmill either. It was because he started talking about laminin. Laminins are a family of proteins that are an integral part of the structure scaffolding of basement membranes in almost every animal tissue. Poof, medical description. But this is the doctor still talking. But laminins are what hold us together, literally. They are cell adhesion molecules. They are what hold one cell of our body to the next cell. Without them, we would literally fall apart. And I already knew that. But what I didn't know is what the laminin looked like. But now I do, and have thought about it 1,000 times since. It is not, here is what the structure of laminin looks like. And he's talking about the pictures you just saw. He said, this is not a Christian portrayal of it. These were scientific things that were around. Louis looked them up. Okay? Louis put them together in his presentation. If you look up laminin in any scientific medical piece of literature, that is what you will see. Tell me that our God is not the coolest, amazing, or in my terms, wow. The glue that holds us together, all of us, is in the shape of the cross. Immediately, Colossians 1:15 through 17 come to mind. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, I acknowledge that most of that was a summary of what I've told you and what I've shown you, okay? But now, this is still the doctor talking. Call me crazy, I think this is very, very, very cool. Thousands of years before the world knew anything about laminin, Paul penned those words. And now we see that from a very literal standpoint, we are held together, one cell to another, by the cross. The doctor concludes, and I am almost going to conclude, you would never in a quadrillion years convince me this is anything other than the mark of a creator who knew exactly what laminin glue would look like long before Adam even breathed his first breath. Praise the Lord. Laminin is the glue that holds the human body together. We have some glue in the church. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a sort of laminin of the body of Christ. Jesus himself told us to do this in remembrance of him until he comes again. In remembrance of the cross on which he died, in remembrance of the cross that he placed deep inside our bodies. Jesus shed his blood to hold us together with his Father, the Creator God. We talked about the universe, the solar system, and the stars and the galaxies, as Psalm 33 did. And we talked about being held together at a cellular level inside our own human bodies. And, equally true, we are held together in Christ in every other way. When we celebrate communion, when we worship together, when we praise God together, when we pray together, Jesus Christ holds us together. He refreshes us and nourishes our faith when we place our trust and faith in him. That's why we sang the song. We are saved and held together by Jesus Christ, by His shedding His blood on the cross, we are made right with God, and we are held together by Him and in Him, in His sacrifice on the cross. Jesus is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Father, Creator, we are amazed at what little we've noticed this morning together about Your creation. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and thank You that You hold us together in Christ, that You give us everything we need, that You draw us together as believers, that You draw others to our fellowship to learn of You and to worship You. Lord, we ask that You will help us to continue to be amazed at Your love and all You do for us, that You lead us by Your Spirit, You teach us by Your Word, You encourage us in our fellowship with each other. We are truly held together in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this we pray in His name as well. Amen.